From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They called me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Andrew Triforce Howard. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Bum,
bum, copyright, bum, trademark, bum, bum. Dick Wolf.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to trial. Yeah, yeah. Mm. You hear that?
That's and we're sued. Sport
music. No,
and
not, yet. Sued. Not yet.
Spare
and
news.
We're sued.
Okay, we turn it off. Cool.
We edged toward that one, folks. The energy is live. We are in person, which is quite a rare treat for us. And we started asking, so we're always pitching ideas to each other, right? And we started asking, hey, does anybody remember the weird, surreal wasteland of daytime TV before streaming, right?
Surely it still exists to some degree, right?
Very much so.
Okay.
Oh, infomercials.
I'm blissfully unaware of it.
Spinoffs of every reality show you've ever heard of.
Right? Soaps are still
a thing. Operas, yeah. Telenovelas, still very big. Occasionally, you'll also see the news, but they keep that brief because they got to get back to, you know, as the world turns.
Yeah, regularly scheduled program. Mm-hmm.
With the election coverage that just happened, people were actually watching TV, right? Uh-huh. And I watched an Instagram live from The Daily Show, and they had to keep pushing, like, turn on your television. Your television.
What's
watch
that?
Tonight on your television.
What's that? Grandpa,
the bigger
granddad.
Phone your parents have that doesn't move.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's true. Reality TV has dominated, reality TV and soaps have dominated daytime television for so long. And if you're of a certain age in the United States, you may recall a unique genre of reality TV. From far enough away, it looks like a courtroom. There's someone who looks like a judge. There are people who act like defendants. There may be folks who strongly resemble lawyers and maybe, you know, a sassy bailiff kind of
always
on the
bailiff.
Side. Like, you know it, Your Honor.
It's an important part of the cast, the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And so our question tonight.
Cutting eyes, you know. Yeah.
And so our question tonight is, are these court TV shows real? Sorry, we had some friends from the office come in and wave to us.
Oh, Nathan.
They want to know.
Nathaniel and his mustache. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Bizarro Nathan. Evil Nathan.
He keeps saying he's not a cop. Anyway, that's our cold open.
He has to tell us if he's a cop.
Untrue.
Yeah, we found out.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Homeowners, if you want to sell your house fast for all cash, stop what you are doing and listen to this, because Osborne Homes wants to buy your house right now.
I'm Alec from Osborne Homes, and we want to buy your house. Nobody buys more homes in California than Osborne. Whether it's a total fixer-upper or in perfect condition, Osborne Homes is the easiest way to sell your house fast, all cash. Best of all, when you sell your house to Osborne Homes, there are zero commissions, zero fees, plus no banks, no realtors, no repairs, and no waiting to close. We buy your house as is, all cash.
Just go to OsborneHomes.com right now to get your free, no obligation, all cash offer. We are here and ready to buy your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go to OsborneHomes.com.
Go to OsborneHomes.com right now. Don't wait. Sell your house to Osborne Homes and put the cash in your pocket right away. Just go to OsborneHomes.com. That's OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com.
Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play. Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
Oh, hi. This is Chelsea Handler from the Dear Chelsea podcast. This episode is brought to you by Opill, the first over-the-counter daily birth control pill available in the U.S. I love shedding light on what's important for women's healthcare, and one thing that makes healthcare easier is making birth control more convenient to access. Well, let me introduce Opill. Opill is a daily birth control pill that is FDA approved, full prescription strength, and estrogen free. Plus, there's no prescription needed. Finally, the days of needing a prescription for birth control are over, a sentence I very much enjoy saying. This is our moment to take control of our health and reproductive journeys because Opill is birth control in your control. Opill is available online and at most major retailers. Use code OPILLOTC, OPILLOTC for 25% off your first month of Opill at opill.com.
Chronic migraine is 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine before they start. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Botox prevents, on average, 8 to 9 headache days a month versus 6 to 7 for placebo.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
Here are the facts. To know what a TV court show is, we have to look at a little bit of history. And honestly, it's surprising because you may not know this, folks. The ancestors of the court shows you see on television or streaming today, they come from radio, not television.
What? It does make sense. I mean, yeah, it's not a particularly visually captivating medium. But, and this will be clear too, we're talking about like, not like night court. We're talking about
which is awesome.
Yeah. With
God, I love night court.
We're talking about like the people's court or Judge Judy and executioner.
Judge Joe Brown.
Divorce court.
Yeah.
And stakes are real. Or are they?
All right, so let's travel back. It's the mid-1930s. We're talking Depression era. Life is super not great for a lot of people, and they want distractions. They want fantasy. They want another nicer world to live in, even if only for 30 minutes a pop. And so television was available since the 1920s, right, to the Richie Riches and the Scrooge McDucks of the world, but it doesn't become America's main media venue until after World War II, when everybody was able to buy a house, have 2.5 kids. It was possible to own your own car, and then of course you buy the box. Now you watch TV.
Previously, it was literally families gathered around the radio, using their collective imaginations to picture the characters like the Shadow or whatever.
Well,
right?
It's a lot like how people gather around their Alexas now and listen to this show.
That's
like they're doing right now.
Yeah. Oh, come on!
Don't speak her name, by the way.
I know you're cooking. I know you're working out. I know you're doing the dishes, and you know what? You're doing a great job.
Seriously.
Positive affirmations there.
I think my Alexa is ill. She does not respond the way she used to. I don't know if I need like a hot update or something like that, but man, she hears her name in every piece of dialogue from television and interrupts my viewing experience on the regular.
And we're not going to do the prank that we did previously because some people did not enjoy that. But check out our earlier episodes on surveillance.
Do you think there will be couples counseling for personal assistance where it's like a user and a personal assistant?
You just don't take me for granted.
Yes. I think there will be AI avatar personal counseling. Whoa. So you'll get your AI avatar, because people are dating via ChatGPT and so on now. So you'll just get the AI avatars to go to therapy with each other, and then they'll come back and tell you what they learned, and then they'll tell you it was a success.
Can't we just go back to peopling? Like, you know, I mean, come on.
I'm all about
too much. It's too much, guys. It's gone too far.
That came off weird.
Well, when people are hanging out together, they get into arguments, they get into situations, right?
We are currently in the situation room.
Then you got to go to court.
Bringing it back. Yeah, the golden age of radio lasts from the 1920s till television takes over in the mid-1950s. This is the origin of dramatic, serialized narratives. I'd like to play one example here. Of course, it's a classic. And I don't think we'll get sued.
I want to get sued.
Can you guess what this is?
Sounds spooky.
Uh-huh.
H.P. Lovecraft presents...
Who knows what evil lies in the hearts of men?
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts
It lurks. Of men. That's right. It lurks.
What is that? What is it?
It's Alec Baldwin.
What?
No.
Wait. Oh, we missed it.
He knows. Do you remember The Shadow, but film starring Alec Baldwin as The Shadow? It did not do well.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
It did do well.
Then there was The Phantom with Billy Zane. Mm-hmm. The Phantom was also another Golden Age radio show. Didn't do well.
Didn't do super well. These are adaptations. These are spooky stories to tell in the dark, similar to what we did with 13 Days of Halloween. And people, like we're saying, gathered around, listened to the radio with rapt attention. It was something we would call cinema of the mind. And all of that changed for radio on March 1st, 1932. A 20-month-year-old child named Charles Augustus Lindbergh Jr. was kidnapped in a tragedy that drew national attention.
The Lindbergh baby.
Mm-hmm, the Lindbergh baby.
People are always going on about the Lindbergh baby.
Constantly. We're talking to Andrew Triforce Howard.
He won't stop.
And I'm like, come on, man. Yeah, I get it.
It was a long time ago, Andrew.
I'm shooting Andrew a look to make sure we're still cool.
And he's shooting you one right back.
It's a look for sure. All right, later. It's May 12th. Unfortunately, this child is found dead.
Oh, sorry, I made all those jokes.
It's long past, but this investigation that ensues, the arrest of a German immigrant named Bruno Richard Hauptmann, and then the subsequent trial, they capture the imagination of America. People are going blow by blow. They're buying the newspaper at 4 a.m. to get the latest hot goss.
This is the predecessor to like the O.J. Simpson craze.
Very
you know,
so.
I mean, 100%. This was very new. The ability to cover something like this and to essentially make it a cultural event, pop cultural moment.
Yes.
Yeah, touchstone. Yeah.
When you are getting your information as soon as the newspapers can print it and get it out to you, mm-hmm. that's one thing. That's a certain amount of time. But then when somebody can just turn on a microphone mm-hmm. on scene outside the courtroom or something, that is a whole different level of feeling like you're in the moment while living, this is occurring.
Living vicariously, mm-hmm. right? Flip on the radio, and we know it's 2 p.m. Eastern, and now we're here with live updates because they were still using that voice.
This is true crime. This is the earliest
That's
example
yeah,
of true
what
crime.
I'm getting to. Yeah, yeah. Because the kidnapping and the trial of Hauptmann could be an episode all their own. We'll need Andrew on, obviously. But for our purposes tonight, we have to note the American public was glued to every step, not just every development in the investigation, but every bit of speculation. This was the water cooler talk. And the courtroom was crowded to the eaves. Family, reporters, law enforcement, looky-loos. People were, like you were saying earlier, Matt, waiting eagerly outside just to figure out what happened, and often to be the first person who could report it or to be the first person who could tell their friends. This trial ran from January to February of 1935. Hauptmann never said he was guilty, never confessed, always said he was innocent. None of his appeals succeeded. He was eventually electrocuted. He was executed in the electric chair in New Jersey on April 3rd of 1936. And people were still following the story for years now. Part of it is because the Lindbergh family was so high profile. Part of it is the golden age radio, the brutality of the crime. They mixed together like ingredients in a stew, and this created what you're talking about, Noel, a great appetite for court shows. The American public was fascinated. They wanted to hear more trials, they wanted to hear more legal proceedings, and ideally, they wanted it to be exciting. They didn't want the man bites dog or dog bites man cases. They didn't want someone arguing about their property line or their fence. They wanted the murder, they wanted the heist.
Because in theory, right, couldn't even like the most boring of trials be televised if there were a demand for it?
Yeah, or you could take the court transcript and have people read it back.
It's all public record, you know, but like the thing that allows cameras, I've always been a little confused about like the legality behind cameras in the courtroom. I mean, but there has to be a demand for that, for it to be like the networks show up. But if there were a smaller, you know, seemingly more boring case and there were interest, they could film those too. They could put those on TV, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could have something like C-SPAN, and it's just 24 hours of small claims court.
Isn't that what court TV is, kind of?
Yes. Like, well, kind of. Yes, yeah, that's what we get to.
I don't know what it is. Yeah.
So the radio studios, the producers, the reporters, they respond quickly. They take the public transcripts, like we're mentioning, the public reports, and they make what we call recrees.
Dramatizations.
Yeah, reenactments of high visibility cases. They're looking for stuff that was the bloodiest, the most brutal, or the most morally reprehensible. And dudes, fellow conspiracy realists, America loved this stuff.
To bleed the leads.
You think true crime podcasts are popular? Had nothing on this. This was the granddaddy.
It was so new. It was just a feeding frenzy.
Well, imagine if a show like Up and Vanished was just on one of the four networks that existed at the time.
Back when we had, like, that was it. Four choices.
I mean, really. Like,
not even that many shows per choice.
Like, everybody knows that case now because it's one of the things you can listen to or watch.
Mm-hmm. And because other people are talking about it, socially, a feedback loop occurs. So even if you are not necessarily interested in it, you're up to date on it. You know,
you kind of have to be.
Yeah, it's like you know what's going on with the Yankees and the Mets just because you live in New York. You don't have to go to the stadium to see them.
I mean, my partner's been watching the dramatization, recree, or whatever, of the Clinton Monica Lewinsky trials or whatever, impeachment hearings. Mm. And I mean, that was so huge. They literally remade the whole thing as like a drama fictionalized kind of account on television.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they just did it with O.J. Simpson like twice in a
it's
row.
It's the same
they
series.
Did all of
I
these.
Believe.
But like,
it's the American Horror Story guy. Yeah, 100%.
Is still here. So much. So let's get back here. So we're still in radio land. We're in the 30s. Yes.
Yeah, we're in the 30s. And to get around, they have one other thing they had to do to get around the possibility of ending up in a real courtroom because of their cute radio stories and going down for libel and slander. The creators would go back and take trials from years or decades past. And they were often looking for a trial wherein all of the original participants had died.
So they were worried about libel or slander accusations because they were taking some liberties?
Oh, yeah.
With the transcripts?
And also, you know, how far can you go in dramatic recreation before you get to, I'm kind of playing with the facts.
Skewing a little bit. Well, and a lot of the facts could be hearsay, right? Or at least argued to be hearsay.
And in a court of law, you have a judge who will come down and say, that should be struck from the record,
and
jurors.
But in radio, you have a host who probably had some improv training and was like, yes, and is it possible that the murderer was, you know, Welsh, which never shows up in the court case. They just go back to the transcript.
And then the Welsh Defamation League is up
huge,
up your tail.
Huge force. Mm-hmm. Huge. They run all the F's in the language. It's a joke for like two people.
So many.
Yeah. So this leads us to the first ancestor, what we call a court show today. And it's on radio. It's named the Court of Human Relations, or the True Story Court of Human Relations.
Dun, dun.
Yeah. New Year's Day, 1934, just a bit after the Lindbergh case, and they did the reenactments. They had a guy called Percy Hemus playing the judge. Percy was not a judge. He was an actor.
I'm not a judge, but I just play one on television.
Right, right, is what he told officers, right, when he got pulled over in his jalopy. Anyway.
Oh, I bet he had, but he did better than that.
Also, Judge Reinhold. We're talking about this off air.
It's true.
I grew up thinking that guy was a judge who happened to be an actor. But not only is he not a judge, Judge isn't even his real first name.
That was news to me. Yeah. But he did go on to delightfully portray a television judge on Arrested Development. I believe it was called Judge Reinhold. And he's making fun of the exact stuff that we're talking about today.
Yeah. And also, he got the nickname Judge as a baby because people thought he looked really stern and authoritative and judgmental.
That is one judgmental baby right
that,
there.
That sounds mean to the kid. But the
mean mugging everybody all the time.
So here's the brilliant thing about Percy's show. All right. They would air this compilation of recreations, and they would usually just go for the most exciting stuff, not all the ins and outs of procedure, just the part where, you know, it's like, Your Honor, I object.
Sustained.
This whole courtroom's out of order.
Is sustained good or bad?
Sustained, well, it depends on if you're the person making the objection. If you're making the objection and your objection is sustained, that means the judge agrees.
He accepts your objection. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what's the opposite of sustained?
Overruled.
Thank you. Thank you. We're getting our terminology straight.
I always love it. I always love how in Copaganda, there's a judge on the edge who's like, I'll allow it, but you're on thin ice.
I like the real Southern judge, too. That's a real
julep judge.
Yes, sir. That's indeed. Mint julep. Colonel Angus.
Judge Mills Lane. Let's get it on.
Also,
another good judge flavor.
I love the move in a trial that's televised, or, you know, again, the kind of propaganda stuff where the lawyer asks a crazy out there, should be a legal question. And they have the thing where it's like, did you or did you not murder that penguin? Objection. Overruled. Withdrawn.
Well, yeah. And then on this show, they would go, what do you think? But they didn't have an email address or phone number or anything.
Right. That's the grift. That's the gaffe.
Talk amongst yourselves, friends.
Before the end of every broadcast, Percy would come in and invite everybody in the audience to render their own verdict before they tell you what happened. And they implied that they were immediately receiving correspondence from across the United States, and that determined what actually happened. It is not the case. There was no way to contact the radio station whatsoever, and they pulled this off for years.
Brilliant.
Pretty brilliant. Ethical?
Diabolical.
Yeah.
But brilliant. I respect it.
They ran from 1934 to 1939, which, fun fact, means Stuff They Don't Want You to Know has been on air longer than the world's first court show.
We old.
I think it's, you know, I think it's an accolade.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Maybe they'll give us a trophy for it one day.
Maybe. What was the next show?
Oh, this one's great. It was called Goodwill Court. So people would go into their local Goodwill and they would buy things. And then the whole show is just haggling about how much it should actually cost.
Is that true?
Because
I was going to make that joke too.
It turned into a romantic kind of reality program wherein later, instead of arguing, this was a ratings thing, they would have strangers meet in Goodwill and have to go on a date to get discounts at the Goodwill.
Brilliant. Do you need discounts at Goodwill?
Yeah. It was a different time.
Okay, fair enough.
And this was hosted by A.L. Alexander. All that other stuff is not true, by the way. This was hosted by A.L. Alexander, heard real-life defendants in cases, all presented semi-anonymously. So you'd hear their real voices, but you wouldn't know their names, and they would try to keep... They played a little fast and loose with facts, and their defense for this was saying, we can't reveal exact specifics, so that's why we're punching stuff up. Hmm. And then, boom, the case goes to a panel of real judges, and the judges sit around and go, well, you know what, here's what I would recommend.
I do declare.
You know, do you think that was considered sort of like a has-been judge, and now this is all
like
you can do?
Like a Hollywood Squares judge?
Kind of, yeah. You got to wonder if that didn't go over particularly well in the legal community, if you would appear on one of these types of things.
It definitely didn't go over well.
Well, we know it didn't go over well, big picture-wise, for sure. So what happened? Like, this legal advice technically ran afoul of some actual legal precedent.
New York County, it turns out, has a lawyers association. Who knew? Who would have assumed?
Is that the same as the bar? Is that the bar?
They mess with the bar. Bar is your qualification to practice.
Sometimes you eat the bar. You know?
Sometimes the bar
eats you. Most of the time.
Sometimes you raise the bar, and sometimes You're just at the bar too long.
You're limboing under the bar.
Yes.
Doing the best you can.
We've got bar jokes.
How low can you go, Ben?
We've got bars about bars. We've got more bars than the Bourbon District. This is not the kind of fun bar that these lawyers were messing with. They shut down this show because they said, look, if you're giving out real legal advice for free on the radio, we don't care for that. Which makes sense because that's their job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you run a donut shop and then some weirdo next door opens a place that just gives away free donuts, you're going to have some problems.
Well, that is his right if he wishes to do that. As long as he's checked all the boxes and filled out all the appropriate paperwork.
Yeah, you got to have the license.
It's a spite store kind of situation.
Yeah, you can't be a rogue donut benefactor.
No.
You will get in trouble. So now we get to the age of TV. We'll sew this up real quick. The first show like this to make it to television was Famous Jury Trials. It was on the radio in the 30s to the late 1940s. And then in 1949, it got adapted to television. They even had a film come out in 1971. And these were all reenactments of past famous cases. I hope they went super deep into the archives. I hope they had some cases from the 1700s.
Pirate trials?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Willful witchcraft? Or was it the manslaughter equivalent of witchcraft? Was this person accidentally a witch?
It's more of a witch hobby. Yeah.
My client, Blackbeard, has been accused of many things today.
Didn't they get accused of like eating babies or something? Did I make that up?
He got accused of a lot of things.
Fair enough. Isn't that the problem with a lot of this? Accusations in the court of public opinion are way more interesting than the truth.
And they have a much lower burden of
100%.
Evidence.
And in a courtroom, the judge can do a lot of things to mitigate that and, you know, instruct the jury and everything. But with once this stuff starts circulating, you know, in the real world, you're basically trying people in the court of public opinion.
Back to the 1700s, to follow up on that example, in a real court, a judge could say, I do not consider that to be a witch mark. I believe that is a mole. but if there were a Twitter of some sort back then, probably word of mouth at the church in this instance, then the verdict is already done for the public.
That's right.
No one has to prove it. You know what I mean? Marm Mabel tells Goodwife Johannesson that it's definitely a witch mark because she's seen a mole before. And then, boom.
It's the devil's mark.
It's witching time.
Yeah. Ooh, the kitty cat is definitely drinking milk from that thing. Okay, so that's how they work.
You saying that this mole was a like third nipple? What are you talking about?
And that's how witches' marks are the things.
Is that
work,
true?
Right?
Yeah, that's one of them.
They lactate.
You're familiar.
That's one of them. Yeah, you're familiar.
I did not know that.
Suckles on you.
I did not know that.
And that cat is definitely a demon. Anyway, so this is a weird history because for a lot of us, the TV court show has always been there. If you grew up in the U.S., just a staple of TV, just like infomercials or those talk shows that are just vapid, I'll say.
Yeah.
Come on.
You don't like The View?
You gotta love a good talk show, guys.
I love
kind of what we do. That's
what podcasts. Well, I love the segues though on the talk shows because you know if you turn on the right time, they're like 40,000 confirmed dead. In other news, dogs in office. Let's go to Denver, Colorado, where Mr. Sparkles has been making some waves in Congress.
How would we have ever learned to be, you know, panicking about satanicking if we didn't have those talk shows, you know?
Right.
We wouldn't have. You're talking about like the Dr. Phil's of the world, like the Sally Jesse Raphael's.
These formats that are just like weird. It's the line between what is real and what is not real is blurred, I think.
Reality consensus.
Distinctly remember being a kid and seeing some of this daytime stuff, and it was an episode about white supremacists, and it was like Phil Donahue, and they had these white supremacists on, and they had like their kids on, and they were saying the most foul racist stuff and given this platform, and of course it's presented as like, here are these bad people, but let's just let them say and do whatever they want. And I found it shocking, like as a kid. They were using all kinds of horrible slurs, you know?
That's what they wanted. Also, be well aware, folks, in those talk shows, like Nola's describing, I guarantee you before they went on air, there was a producer doing this. Yeah, okay, so just go up there, you know, beat yourself, but be more yourself.
A little more racist. Yeah, dial it up a notch.
Yeah, yeah, because we want people to really understand where you're coming from.
Okay!
Let me at him! And hey, and if you get to it, throw that chair.
Yeah.
You know?
It's marked with blue tape at the bottom. It's the throwing chair.
Yeah, that's your mark. You know, but what was the show where there were all these big fights?
Jerry Springer.
Springer Maury was known Povich, for it. But there was a little Dr. of it on Phil. All of those. Yeah. Was, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, except for Oprah. Oprah was classy.
Oprah kept
Ricky
clean.
Lake. Ugh, oh, so Ricky many Lynn. Fights.
Yeah. And as we think about these phenomena, and we did have an episode previously on reality TV, mm-hmm. I believe. Mm-hmm. As we think about this phenomenon, we had to ask, is there a conspiracy afoot? How real is this form of reality TV? What is the truth about court shows? We'll have a quick recess for a word from our sponsor, and then we'll dive into something like real.
Sustained?
Yeah.
Sustained?
Sustained.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's Bartesian.com/cocktail.
Homeowners, if you want to sell your house fast for all cash, stop what you are doing and listen to this, because Osborne Homes wants to buy your house right now.
I'm Alec from Osborne Homes, and we want to buy your house. Nobody buys more homes in California than Osborne. Whether it's a total fixer-upper or in perfect condition, Osborne Homes is the easiest way to sell your house fast, all cash. Best of all, when you sell your house to Osborne Homes, there are zero commissions, zero fees, plus no banks, no realtors, no repairs, and no waiting to close. We buy your house as is, all cash.
Just go to OsborneHomes.com right now to get your free, no obligation, all cash offer. We are here and ready to buy your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go to OsborneHomes.com.
Go to OsborneHomes.com right now. Don't wait. Sell your house to Osborne Homes and put the cash in your pocket right away. Just go to OsborneHomes.com. That's OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play. Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
Oh, hi. This is Chelsea Handler from the Dear Chelsea podcast. This episode is brought to you by Opill, the first over-the-counter daily birth control pill available in the U.S. I love shedding light on what's important for women's healthcare, and one thing that makes healthcare easier is making birth control more convenient to access. Well, let me introduce Opill. Opill is a daily birth control pill that is FDA approved, full prescription strength, and estrogen free. Plus, there's no prescription needed. Finally, the days of needing a prescription for birth control are over, a sentence I very much enjoy saying. This is our moment to take control of our health and reproductive journeys, because Opill is birth control in your control. Opill is available online and at most major retailers. Use code OPILLOTC. OPILLOTC for 25% off your first month of Opill at opill.com.
Chronic migraine is 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine before they start. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Botox prevents, on average, 8 to 9 headache days a month versus 6 to 7 for placebo.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
All rise, be seated. Here's where it gets crazy.
Can I just stay seated? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Objection.
Ah, over.
How guys, about overstained? If you really agree, like overstained.
OxyClean. This is a really great reason to have the commercial breaks.
Just real.
Is your carpet overstained? OxyClean.
Is your shiffer robe overstained? I just wanted to say shiffer robe. All right.
Great word.
I think there's a great way to talk about the difference between the reality of these things and the reality of these things, right? So one of the first court shows that ever came about was a thing called Divorce Court,
right?
And it's another one of these shows that's very, very similar to the one we just described to you before the break, where it was a radio version, kind of make 'em up sees, not really about a show, like a fictionalized version of that,
sure,
or a recreated version of these courtrooms.
Dramatized.
Divorce Court did the same thing early on. It had four separate runs, and on the first couple of runs, it was just reenacting a divorce court proceeding.
Yes.
Which I guess it's salacious enough that people would want to watch that.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, think about the demographic. You're at home, you're watching TV. Maybe it makes you start thinking about your own relationship.
Is it like
you find something, some validation in there? You
like, know at least I mean? We're not this effed up.
Right.
You know?
Or at least, like, a judge agrees with me that a dog should not be as important in a household.
That is so fat, because this is 57 to 62, then 67 to 69.
Yeah.
So it is, they're aiming at that time at mothers, like stay-at-home mothers, fantasizing about divorce.
And also, there
oh
are-
Oh my God!
Yeah, maybe not fantasizing, but also thinking there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Maybe, but also,
The money spent the same is the thing. And we also have to realize the context. There are huge civil rights, women's rights movements occurring at the same time.
Well, but then when they came back, though, they did a version that is what we're talking about.
Right
now.
And let's step back, because our first question was, what do we mean by real? That's where we find the answer. It's a gradient. It's not binary. These shows are not all created equally in how much they do or do not cleave to the reality of a courtroom. Some are more like a real courtroom than others. But let's start at the top. Let's go piece by piece in these systems. Are the judges actual judges? Judge Judy, yes, was a judge, is not a judge, was a judge, and then began to play one on television.
Judge Mills Lane, same thing. Mm-hmm.
Judge Joe Brown, definitely a judge prior to the television career. So these folks were judges at one time. They were judges at one point.
They know the law, is what we're saying.
Right. They are well acquainted with different parts of the law.
But what about Steve Harvey?
I think he's just a judgmental dude.
Because he is one of the most famous courtroom TV judges right now.
Because he doesn't take backs out.
But he's all about the court of public opinion. That's
I know.
But it's funny that you should say that, because it just goes to show how similar it is, like how these judges are like stand-ins for talk show hosts in many ways. They are holding court, y'all.
Oh, snap.
And Steve Harvey is interesting. The guy from Family Feud.
Yeah.
He's the dude who always looks amazed by a slightly risque answer.
Yeah.
You know, someone's like, well, I would say balls. And then he just loses his mind and can't believe it's number one on the list of toys and sports. you know?
Steve Harvey's hilarious to me, guys. I don't know what it is. I think maybe I have an SNL version of Steve Harvey playing in my head, even when Kenan. I watch him. Yeah. So I don't know what
that's. He also, his show, Judge Steve Harvey, is also technically qualified as a court comedy. To your point, Noel, about being a host.
I'm not even aware of his judge show. I thought you were joking.
No.
Yeah, nope. He has a judge show.
It's super popular.
And it's funny, too, because he's also a big radio guy.
Yeah.
And he just has, like, doesn't he host a game show?
Family Feud.
Family Feud. Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Where he acts surprised.
Yeah.
When someone says.
He's ticking all the. He's like the answer. King of old media in a way.
Yeah, baby.
He also hosted the Miss Universe competition and has 7 daytime Emmy Awards.
Dude,
I don't know if that's like
it's like a demotion.
But, is it the JV?
I think it is.
But so what we're talking about here is you've got the spectrum of a television host personality that can lead one of these shows as a judge. But on the other end, you've got Judge Joe Brown, and that's the person I'm putting on this end because that guy was a legitimate judge for a long time. He was overseeing. We're talking about this when we made the MLK tapes. We talked to Judge Brown,
right?
But he oversaw the last appeal that James Earl Ray had before he was taken off of it because he was biased. But this is a legitimate judge that is doing the same work, the same job as Steve Harvey.
Well, yeah, okay, and we'll see why as well. Not all of these TV judges are real judges. Some of these shows are just borrowing a format loosely inspired by what you would imagine a courtroom to look like. There are other cases of this, you know, if you look at Judge Greg Mathis, host of the show, Judge Mathis, he got a law degree and he worked as a district judge in Michigan's 36th District Court. He dealt primarily with misdemeanors, but these court shows do not take place in real courtrooms. They don't feature real trials happening in real time. They are usually real cases, but the producers, to our earlier example, here's how they scout people. They look through pending litigation in small claims courts in the area, and then they call people and say, hey, do you want to just go sort this out on television?
Is that like a form of arbitration? Or
it is.
Okay. Spoiler. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. What we're seeing on these shows, it's not real court cases. Instead, you're watching an arbitration process. Do we want to explain what arbitration is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's literally a third party that listens to two people's sides of a story, essentially.
Oh. who have both agreed to participate in this and to take it outside of the scope of a normal courtroom proceeding.
If you're doing actual arbitration, right, that is theoretically the way it works, that third party that is non-biased. But again, especially if you're dealing with a corporation's arbitration process.
Here's where you're going to run into arbitration, folks. Anytime you have signed terms and conditions for literally any service in media or with electronic product,
you have agreed
to arbitration. Mm-hmm. That's why it's usually toward the second half of the contract because they know 95% of people are not going to read it. You should read it. As a matter of fact, start reading at the bottom and work your way up.
That came up recently with that case of the woman being food poisoned
in Disney.
By Disney food at Disney,
Disney
Springs
associated property.
And because the husband had like signed up for like a free trial of Disney Plus, he had technically agreed to arbitration, which is not in his favor because this is a case that he could potentially have won big on, but now he's been demoted to arbitration, which puts the power really in the hands of the corporation.
Yeah. Let's compare it to if it was in a court of law, right? In the court of law, there's the same thing. Two arguments, right? From a team of lawyers for basically someone who's defending, someone who is accusing, or the plaintiff and the defendant. They make their case. The jury in that case decides what's up, or the judge, depending on what type
kind of
trial.
Yeah.
And then that judge or jury decides, here's what's going to happen. Here's who's going to pay money. Here's who's going to face consequences. In arbitration, you hear this case and everything, and that one person who is your arbiter
binding
gets to decide.
You can do it. There may be more than one arbiter.
True.
But this is alternative dispute resolution, meaning that you can say, you know, if you two guys are fighting, you could come to me and say, like, hey, we don't want this to go to court. We just hear it out. We'll record it. We agree in writing that that decision to that point will be binding, which means that even though you're not in court with this mediation, the arbiter's decision is almost always final. It's very yes. rare for a court to go back and step on the toes. So it's kind of a, it's like how instead of going straight from kindergarten to first grade, your case goes from kindergarten to pre-first.
Yes. And yes. And one of the most important parts of this is exactly what you said, Ben. You're not going by the laws necessarily. Sometimes you are, but especially in certain mm-hmm. cases, you are deciding what the rules and consequences can even be before yes. you begin the discussion.
You scope out, you make the field of play. And I contact, listen close, fellow conspiracy realist, not accusing anyone specifically, but you cannot do arbitration for a lot of criminal cases. Okay. So if there's a grand theft auto, for instance, if there's a purposeful arson, or you have, God forbid, arguably committed homicide, you can't go to the cops and say, well, what if we just sort of get an arbiter? You know what yeah. I mean? Like get someone we all trust. Like, what if we ask Bill Nye? You know what?
Or the
what
science guy?
Yeah. Or what if we get Ja Rule? Because Ja will figure
the science guy?
Out. Yes. Yes. Or Shaggy Two Dope.
The science guy?
Yes. And so this is
he knows about magnets, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. He is willfully ignorant on all things magnetic. So the power the judges have in these TV shows is just granted by the contract. And yeah. it's the contract that you sign when you agree to appear. Everybody is there voluntarily. No
even
matter
the
what.
Devil even who the always devil. Signs the contract.
He's in the details.
He's in the fine print. Yeah. Yeah. And also love fine print. I think they should make the fine print in just a sexier font.
They should just call it small words.
No,
why they got to be all fancy?
They should make it.
It
sexy.
Okay. How about Comic Sans?
Comic Sans.
The sexiest font.
It's no Wingdings, but you know.
Fair.
Here's the issue. If we have an aggrieved party and a plaintiff, and the judge finds in favor of the defendant, both parties get an appearance fee.
Yeah.
So even if you lose your case, you still get paid for your time. And yes, if you're wondering, it is more than the fee that people in an actual jury get.
Bro, yeah. I found my jury duty check. It was so embarrassing and hilarious that I never even cashed it. And I looked at it and I was like, I should cash this. But no, it's 90 days. It was void. It was $14.
$14
for
coffee.
It was a full day of the selection process and then a full day of the trial.
$7 wow. a day.
Unreal.
Coffee's
that's,
on you.
That's insanity.
They do charge you for coffee. It's a machine. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. No, I mean, you buy the next round of coffee. $14. I think we could
free
split
coffee.
A latte.
There weren't even donuts. There was no spread.
It's just such an important point, guys, what Ben's saying here. That is how you get somebody to come on a court television show who appears to be the bad guy, at least according to the story.
The
right?
heel, right?
That's yeah. the way you get them there. Because I always wondered, why on earth would this cheating husband or whatever it is, go on television?
Well, mm-hmm. And that's why it's also kind of considered poor form in journalism to pay your subjects.
There you go.
Technically illegal.
Right.
So depending on, we hear you, FCC. We got it. So,
but not only would they not have to pay whatever the small claims is.
Yes, we've got that later too. Yes.
It just, you can definitely see, that is better than having to pay somebody if it actually went to court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of advantages. The Consumerist had a great snarky line about this. They said, while the cases and people may be real, the court could be held on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise and would still have the same effect.
It might as well be. It's on a set. The Starship Enterprise set may well be next door.
And and that's a good point. The quote concludes, it's all just part of the collective hallucination we call television. I thought that was a great line.
It's very cool. I recently went to my very first taping of a late show, and there's a Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and I'd always pictured what the studio was like, and it is tiny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They make it look so big, but the way the camera sweeps throughout it, and I guess the lens, maybe the the wide angle lens or whatever, mm-hmm. and it is a tiny audience. There's never a show, usually. It's like maybe, if they do show it, they show it in close up, which makes you think that it just goes on forever.
Right.
But it's like a black box theater, and it is, you're in a shoebox. It's crazy how small it is. The band is on one wall. Mm-hmm. The band that plays as a guest is on the far wall, and then Fallon and the desk is on the left wall, mm-hmm. and then the audience is on the back wall, and it is, the illusion is real. It was very trippy being in there.
Wow. Yeah. Like, have you guys ever been to the SNL studios?
Heck no.
Also mm-hmm. very small.
I'm not saying like I would never. I would love to. I just have not. No, that's
yeah.
cool.
And then if you go, yeah, a lot of the late shows have a similar format on stage as they do in their presentation, which is all, to your point, to build that illusion. And speaking of illusion, we're talking about this off air. Some of the defendants are actors.
Like yeah, well, yeah.
The case might be real, but, you know, the guy who is portraying the defendant also has a reel on IMDb where he lists a lot of his work.
Well, and there's no real jury, but there is a studio audience and they sit in a jury box, right? It's an illusion.
Yeah, but they don't. Well, it depends on the format of the show. Some of the formats have interaction like with that audience, but usually it is an illusion that they are just an audience the way it would be in a courtroom. They don't mm-hmm. say anything. They're quiet. The only people who speak are the plaintiff, the defendant, or the judge.
And the bailiff who's like, you got that right.
He's the shifty, sassy one. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But isn't that funny though, that because as time has progressed and, you know, this being a tried and true format, you certainly have some like Steve Harvey that lean more into the absurdity of it and can be a little more goofy with it.
Well, all the judges, quote unquote judges, whatever their provenance, they have to have a personality. Right. They have a list of attributes that attract people to the show again and again. You know, a no-nonsense judge versus a judge who kind of sees the, you know, the lighter side of things. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, versus a judge who's like, my main thing is I dig parakeets, which is why this case is interesting.
The parakeet judge. He always has one on his shoulder.
Bird law.
Yeah.
So my understanding, just to what we're talking about here, is usually they're not actors putting on a show like fake cases. They're real cases. It's just they are presented as real cases to the producers. So then the producers decide which ones. So the way you would fake get on one of these court TV shows, in my understanding, is you would have a small claims thing, or you would create a small claims thing that's wild. And then a producer would somehow come to it.
It can work that way.
Or I guess you would go you would send an email to the producers and say, guys, I've got a crazy story for you, and then fake sometimes. Get on.
But it's also similar to, so the producers play a huge role, and that's a great point. Sometimes it works the way you're describing. That would actually be one of the ethical ways from the producer's end. Sometimes the producers will find an old court transcript that they really like, and they'll have a recreation of that. Sometimes these are made up out of a whole cloth, or kind of like a plot for Law and Order. They're inspired by true events. Other times there will be defendants and the actual aggrieved parties on camera, but it's an open secret. Again, prior to going on camera, the show's producers will pop by and just say, hey, let's zhuzh this up a little, even if that means playing a little fast and loose with the facts. I don't know. What do you guys think? Another recess? For an ad break?
I don't see why not.
I was waiting for an overruled or a sustained.
Sustained. Thank you.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.
Homeowners, if you want to sell your house fast for all cash, stop what you are doing and listen to this, because Osborne Homes wants to buy your house right now.
I'm Alec from Osborne Homes, and we want to buy your house. Nobody buys more homes in California than Osborne. Whether it's a total fixer-upper or in perfect condition, Osborne Homes is the easiest way to sell your house fast, all cash. Best of all, when you sell your house to Osborne Homes, there are zero commissions, zero fees, plus no banks, no realtors, no repairs, and no waiting to close. We buy your house as is, all cash.
Just go to OsborneHomes.com right now to get your free, no obligation, all cash offer. We are here and ready to buy your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go to OsborneHomes.com.
Go to OsborneHomes.com right now. Don't wait. Sell your house to Osborne Homes and put the cash in your pocket right away. Just go to OsborneHomes.com. That's OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at HighFiveCasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at High5Casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Oh, hi. This is Chelsea Handler from the Dear Chelsea podcast. This episode is brought to you by Opill, the first over-the-counter daily birth control pill available in the U.S. I love shedding light on what's important for women's healthcare, and one thing that makes healthcare easier is making birth control more convenient to access. Well, let me introduce Opill. Opill is a daily birth control pill that is FDA-approved, full prescription strength, and estrogen-free. Plus, there's no prescription needed. Finally, the days of needing a prescription for birth control are over, a sentence I very much enjoy saying. This is our moment to take control of our health and reproductive journeys, because Opill is birth control in your control. Opill is available online and at most major retailers. Use code OPILLOTC. OPILLOTC for 25% off your first month of Opill at opill.com.
Can Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, help if I have chronic migraine? 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more?
Botox prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. It's the number one prescribed branded chronic migraine treatment.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
And we've returned. All right. There are lots of producers who will speak about this. One that I think stood out to us is a guy named Dave DiVenario, producer at Black Chip Studios out in San Diego. He had a pretty good firsthand account of this.
Yeah, he said, assigning a level of reality to reality court shows is difficult, because like with most reality TV, these shows fall more in the area of contrived, that contrived area, than exactly genuine or fabricated. That's interesting. Yeah, because, you know, contrived does kind of live between those two, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said, you know, some shows even have scripts because, you know, they're working off transcripts. Some are more improv'd, right? Regardless of how these things lean into or out of reality, they all have one goal: to make as much spectacle as possible, to play up the drama. If you've ever watched a real court proceeding, people are often very formal. They're pretty dry. They try to be fact-based. And if you watch these shows, then people sometimes become hyper exaggerated versions of themselves.
I will not have a circus in my courtroom. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
and they're saying that while the defendant and the plaintiff are dressed as literal clowns, because it's
I saw that one too.
Clown claim. Mm-hmm. Is that a thing?
Clown court. There's clown college. Why shouldn't there be clown court?
That's true. Clown rights. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Clown rights now.
Clown rights now. We're about the issues. So DiVernio has this idea that may be reassuring, where he says, you know, most of these cases, most of these people are real. But to your point, Matt, occasionally people will fabricate a case to get on a show. They'll conspire, right? And the producer may not know that these aggrieved parties are actually buddies coming up in the comedy scene. And because it's easy to file a small claim.
Anyone can, but do we have examples of this being discovered?
Not really. There, at least I couldn't find anything concrete where it's like, this is definitely what happened. Because it's embarrassing, especially for the production, if it gets through.
Right.
But it used to happen all the time on talk shows, where, you know, actors who are trying to make it out in Hollywood, and they come up with a way to get on television. Again, I mean, I use Ricky Lake as an example, but it's not really necessarily that. It would be one of the more salacious ones, where it's like, this kid is or is not my child or whatever.
Springer or Pope.
Yeah. But it's just actors and they're just having fun, and it doesn't matter necessarily even to the producers if it's real or not, because it makes for good TV. You just don't want that.
The girlfriend, mistress, baby mama fights. Sorry, folks. Sometimes they know each other.
I think that's interesting, because what we're pointing out here is that it does seem that there is some need to maintain some semblance of credibility, even in the schlockiest of these court type shows.
Sure.
That is at the heart of the thing. The moment that is broken and we cannot believe the true crime aspect of these things, it loses us.
Yeah. Well, think about it. If the illusion that there are not direct consequences to one or the other of the people who are there on the stage
in the court,
then nobody gives a crap. So you have to truly believe that illusion. That illusion has to exist, or else the show's canceled.
And you can skirt the line there ethically and legally by not outright stating this is or is not true, right? By not outright stating this is a real court case. All you have to do is imply it through appearance, through tropes, through format. And then from far enough away, you know, this will seem true to a lot of people, even though it is ersatz, which is a word for appearing true without being true. And with that, we have to ask, okay, what happens when somebody is found innocent or guilty? Like we said earlier, if you're the defendant, you're found innocent, you and the other party still get an appearance fee.
Is there a problem? I mean, it just depends, you know? I mean, I think this kind of reality television in general is sort of to blame for some cultural erosion of, like, morals, you know? But that's me, like, being soapboxy about it. To me, the stakes are pretty low, and everybody kind of knows what they're signing up for on both sides, the audience side and the participant side. So is it damaging to what? Democracy, to like the law? I don't think so. I think it's just frivolous.
Well, here's one thing they don't tell you on the show, or as a member of the public, to Matt. I think this is your point there about the actual penalties. What are our stakes? What happens when a penalty is leveled? They say, yes, you're the evil clown in this situation. You stole the seltzer water and the squeaky shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you left that house a little bit messy when you sold it to this other person and they won $175.
Mm-hmm. Here's the kicker. The production pays for fines and penalties leveled as part of the arbitration agreement. Mm-hmm. So we can understand the perspective of a defendant. If you have a small claim, a real one, and you feel like your odds of winning aren't great, why wouldn't you? I mean, it's a cost benefit. Are you okay being a little embarrassed to save some money?
I don't think anybody in Hollywood was ever too afraid of being a little embarrassed, because you got to have humility and shame to be embarrassed.
You know? Oh,
right. I don't know. It's a good question, but you could see, right? Because we're saying you could still be found guilty, and you thought you would be, or found at fault, and now you can get away without having to actually pay the financial consequence.
Or not just financial consequence, it's like there are no consequences now. Some people saw you, you know, however many hundred or thousands of people saw you on TV doing this thing, but other than that, you're good. It's like it never happened. Mm-hmm.
Except that they might syndicate the show,
yeah,
which means that every night at 7 p.m., you know, every other month, it's back up there.
But to your previous point, Ben, too, I mean, or both of you guys on the stakes, like, we're not dealing with sexual assault cases. We're not dealing with actual serious damages of psychological nature or of, like, physical bodily harm.
Maybe psychological.
Like, maybe, but yeah. The stakes to me on any of these that I've ever seen are always so low and kind of, like I said, frivolous that I just don't think it's that big a deal. And I think everybody kind of knows what they're getting in on, you know, whether you're participating, whether you're producing it, or whether you're at home consuming it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to your point there from earlier, I think a lot of people watching know some degree of reality is compromised in these shows.
Dude, real reality is compromised.
Yeah, agreed. But there are still a lot of misconceptions. That's why people might have a problem with this. Plenty of legal boffins, TV critics, and consumer advocates don't love TV court shows. And their biggest concern is that this might mess up attitudes and preconceptions about actual facts. Court, shout out Laura Vogelbaum. The idea that, you know, oh God, I know legal professionals have run into this. You're talking to a witness, a defendant, someone else affiliated with a case who's not a legal professional, and they say, wait, I know you're the judge, or you're a big lawyer or whatever, but I've seen a lot of Judge Judy, and I've watched a lot of Law and Order SVU, so let me tell you how this goes on TV.
It's true, but again, I think, like, everyone knows that there is a certain suspension of disbelief where it's like, I don't really apply, but maybe that's just me or the people that I know. Maybe there are people that see this and really think that's how things go down.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm taking that point for granted a little bit.
Well, isn't it one of the common questions you see on some jury panels or auditions where they say, do you watch, you know, Law and Order? Or what do they say? Do you watch crime shows?
Nowadays, they've probably just abbreviated to true crime. Are you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you like, true crime podcast? And that's a question that comes up because they're trying to see if you have a stilted view of what a court should look like. Since it's arbitration, it doesn't have to occur in a courtroom. You could put it anywhere. You could even put it on social media. What about TikTok court?
I mean, it's probably coming, guys. You know, I don't see why not.
A lot of people on TikTok are getting in trouble for making up crazy stuff and not being able to back it up and then not stopping talking about the crazy stuff.
But it's also, there's so much ability to shield yourself by saying it's satire. You know what I mean? Like, but it's really riding the line these days. You'll see someone being like, this thing happened to me. I did this thing. I experienced this thing. And it's made up, but they're doing it with such a straight face. And it feels like it's a real account, but it's absolutely satire. And it's up to you to figure out what that is because there's no disclaimer.
And also, I'm just asking questions. You know what I mean? What's a weird celebrity?
Chappell-Roan.
Why has Chappell-Roan never explicitly denied the allegations that she runs an illegal goat herding operation across the Colombian border?
It's a good question, Ben. I've been wondering.
I'm just
the
asking
same.
Questions.
I'm wondering.
Just
now you got
questions.
Me thinking, Ben. I've got to know. I've got to find out. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Chappell-Roan must be stopped.
I really thought she was talking about the Pink Pony Club here in Atlanta.
I think there's a just sort of considered almost such an old school institution of strip clubs that it's just like a stand-in, like Coke.
Oh, fill me in on this. What happened?
Oh, she's got a really popular song called Pink Pony Club.
Oh, okay.
And there it's about a dancer at an adult institution.
Okay.
And there is the famous Pink Pony in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But Chappell-Roan is referring to a place that may or may not exist in West Hollywood.
Exactly. At least according to the lyrics.
Okay.
If you're going to believe the lyrics.
Well, let's talk about how lyrics have been put on trial. This is out of the scope of this conversation, but it's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Matt, give us the court sound cue, please, sir.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, wait, that's a different one.
Ding.
This is perfect. You guys are doing it great. All right.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right, here we are in podcast court, which will be a thing later. Shout out to our pal, Judge John Hodgman.
He's my favorite celebrity judge.
He's pretty great, but we are also friends with him. When we're in this area, we're increasingly empowering the court of public opinion, right? Getting ratioed on Twitter. as he said, Matt, people being surprised they encounter real world consequences for performative things on TikTok. I don't know. I guess the verdict is court shows are entertaining and they help in that they do conduct real arbitration, but we can't call them real if we mean they're real courtrooms. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, that is the question, though, like where when you have an O.J. Simpson trial or you have like a, you know, Bill Clinton trial or whatever.
Menendez Brothers
oh, trial. Like,
jeez,
it is presented in an entertaining way by the news media, mm-hmm. but it is a news event, whereas mm-hmm. these are somewhere in between an entertainment, you know, product mm-hmm. and a little taste of real consequences and real legal stakes.
Yeah. Well, think about how obsessed we are with this stuff. Remember we what was the movie? Not 12 Angry Men. That was like 1950s when that
not
was written.
Not 12 Monkeys.
It was A Few Good Men.
Yes, of course.
Yes. We talked about how compelled America was with that film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is, most of it is, not most of it, a lot of the most heightened moments are just inside a courtroom.
You can't two handle people, the truth.
Mm-hmm. But it's just people talking to each other, right?
Yeah, with the real tight back and forth camera angle.
The same with the radio plays back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's just really about the words and the way people are saying things to each other. That's and right. that's where the drama mm-hmm. actually is.
And sometimes the drama comes in all how you frame it, you know what I mean? Yeah. And what you pull from it. Because sitting in a court proceeding like that
right.
the whole time,
it's pretty dry.
It's again, super dull and dry.
People are formal because they've got a lot on the line. Also reminds me of, what was that movie with Al Pacino as a blind
Scent
Al Pacino,
of a Woman?
Who was also, he was also somehow
signed. It is Scent of a Woman.
Is it really?
It's called Scent of a Woman.
And he stands up in a hearing. Yeah, because he talks about Scent of a Woman. He stands up in a hearing and has...
Pretty salacious name if you think
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, he talks about it. The point is he stands up in a hearing and he delivers this excoriating monologue and statement. And that's the kind of stuff that stays with people. Just like in A Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson's character is a very brief part, but extremely pivotal juncture of the story.
Opening and closing arguments are always the big drama. Well, not the only, but like the mm-hmm. Opportunities mm-hmm. for the litigator to hold court, to actually have the, right. all eyes on me. I'm setting it up. I'm laying out the stakes.
Think of Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes. Sorry, it's the phrase stand and deliver. Mm-hmm. Just reminding me of that movie, Stand
yes.
and Deliver,
yes.
about the Menendez brothers.
Yes.
And with this, we see that pop culture has already kind of blurred the line. I won't even say kind of. Pop culture has blurred the line between what we think is real and what we think is entertainment. So maybe our verdict is this. If you take away anything from this episode, remember that anything you learn from watching court TV should not be confused with something that might help you in an actual courtroom, unless you just want the judge to be irritated at you. If you're like, Your Honor, do you know Judge Joe Brown? Their eyes will roll so hard, or maybe they'll do that face you just did, Matt. Huh? What do you know about Joe?
He's such a weird case study.
Yeah, I don't know
because he's a legit judge who like is yeah. so good at doing that mm-hmm. job
at judging
and, yes mm-hmm. and then he's also only really known for this stuff, and he got that job mm-hmm. as Judge Joe Brown right after the whole involvement right. with James Earl Ray mm-hmm. which made me think conspiratorially, of course, maybe he was given this mm-hmm. as like don't make a stink about this whole thing, okay right. so here's a lot of money and be a judge now,
here's not, your door prize.
I don't mean that, sorry, that's an accusation. It's not an accusation, it's an observation,
it's an speculation, observation.
Thinking about it,
thought experiment,
there we go.
But right. also you got to think too, that's a little bit of a happier life for a guy like that.
Oh, for sure,
in terms of the stakes being so comparatively lower.
Yeah. Just, you know, as long as we pretend like some elements of the government didn't want MLK to be dead, it's fine.
The devil, you say.
Do check out our episodes on COINTELPRO. Do check out the MLK tapes, which Matt led the charge on. Do check out our previous episodes on not just reality TV, but the nature of reality. For now, our verdict is court shows are entertaining, but they are not real court. Case dismissed.
Sustained.
Yes, you can also find us.
I don't think I still don't understand the terms. I'm sorry.
We want to hear your thoughts, folks. You can find us all kinds of places. Unlike that radio show from years past, you can actually contact us. We can find us on email. We got a phone number. We're all over the place online.
That's right. You can shout into your podcast-consuming device of choice, or you can find us all over the internet, as Ben said, at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook with our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, on X, FKA, Twitter, and on YouTube, where we have video content galore for your enjoyment. On Instagram and TikTok, however, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Yes. If you have a case you want to have arbitrated, reach out to Judge John Hodgman. We're pretty sure he still does that.
He does.
And
he does.
They're fun. So do that. If you want to call us and tell us about anything you want adjudicated, call our number. It is 1-833- STDWYTK. Feels good.
Don't say KKK.
Oh, I did two K's. I knew you were going to pick on me.
I'm not picking. I'm joking with you.
That's our phone number. When you call and give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air, it's a 3-minute voicemail. If you've got more that can fit in that, why not instead send us a good old fashioned email? We are
the entities that read every piece of correspondence we receive. Be well aware yet unafraid. The shadow knows, and sometimes the shadow writes back. Join us out here in the dark. Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Am I doing the right thing with my finances? Am I saving enough? Can I buy a house? Am I paying too much in taxes? Will I be able to retire? Putting a financial plan together feels impossible. What if I told you there was another way? Take Facet's free financial wellness quiz to get your score and a snapshot of your current financial health. Visit Facet.com now and discover your financial wellness score today. That's FACET.com.
This ad is sponsored by Facet. Facet Wealth Incorporated is an SEC registered investment advisor. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
You know that feeling when you're at Ross and you find the best gifts for way less? Like brand name sweaters, the coolest kids' toys, and plush dog beds? Get that feeling with every gift and save 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices. At Ross, yes for less.
With Shipt same-day delivery, you get more than just groceries delivered by hand from your favorite stores. You get to hunker down for holiday movie night, toast mimosas with friends, or check out the neighborhood light displays. So while a shopper with Shipt checks off your grocery list or makes that last-minute trip to the store, you get the greatest gift of all, more you. Get more from the holidays. Download the Shipt app and start shopping today.
Check out this game called Fun Picks. You can guess who's going to get a rose on Golden Bachelorette, what's going to happen on The Voice, and if you guess correctly, you win prizes.
I'm obsessed with this bingo game.
I didn't know you were into that. Where are you playing this?
It's on Sportzeno.
No way! Fun Picks is on Sportzeno too.
Seriously? We're playing different games on the same website?
We both have great taste.
Sportzeno is a free-to-play social casino and sportsbook. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit sportzeno.com.
Get Fun Picks and bingo now at Sportzeno. That's Z-I-N-O.com.